Hey, we just wanted to give you a heads up before you listen to this next program. Today's conversation of Family Life Today is a little sensitive.
Yeah, a little bit.
We're covering some important subjects, but I'm just going to be honest with you. It might not be suitable for younger ears. So We're encouraging you as parents, just like we are parents, use discretion when listening to this next broadcast. It's good stuff, but you might think, I don't think my kids should hear this. But if they do...
Yeah, make sure you have that conversation with them and talk about it if they do listen to it.
Yeah, that's what you need to do as a parent. Don't just listen to it and then move on. Like, okay, let's have a conversation afterwards, because you're going to have a lot of thoughts and a lot of questions. All right, let's jump into it.
It's important for you dads who are listening. Our kids are watching you. You know, our example as fathers. I had somebody tell me when I was a young father, you're teaching your sons how to respect women, and you're teaching your daughters what they should expect from men someday by your example, by the way you're treating your spouse.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Dave Wilson.
And I'm Ann Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today. Okay, we have another day with Dave and Ashley Willis. I feel like yesterday we went really deep into some stuff, and we're going to go there again today.
I mean, the stuff we're talking about is critical.
And practical.
You know, and I'm thinking especially parents of young boys and girls.
Now
we've got grown men, sons, and this topic, respecting women, teaching your boys how to do that is critical. So today's going to be a great day. So let's jump in.
Ashley, what have those conversations been like for you with your boys about this topic? Because with a mom, it's like we wonder, do I have those conversations with our sons? Dave's having those. Do I chime in too of what it makes me feel as a woman? What's that been like?
You know, at first I had those questions like, should I just let Dave do the talking in this area? Because he, you know, he had the background with porn, and it'd be like man to man. And I don't know, as we've kind of navigated it through the years, I've gotten more comfortable. And Dave actually was like, sweetie, I think they need to hear from you as a woman and how that made you feel. And how, you know, if a man's staring you down and looking at you sexually, how does that make you feel? You know, things like that. And just talking to the boys about it. So I have. I've been like, listen, you need to watch where your eyes go. I talk a lot about that because I know those hormones are raging. And I'm like, you got to get a grip on this. And it's up to you. And God will give you the ability to do that. But you have to be mindful of where your eyes are going. And you can't just follow the crowd. And so I've been able to talk to them from that perspective. And I do, you know, we have one son who has a girlfriend right now. And I a lot of times I'll be like, how are you showing respect to your girlfriend, and talking through what that looks like? And it's been really neat to have that open conversation. And I would say a lot of times they'll ask me questions now because we've had those conversations. So they'll come to me and say like, you know, mom, what do you think about this? And we talk through it pretty openly. I mean, I think that like Dave said, with the work we do, we might be more open than the next person just because we talk about this all the time. But I do think that as parents, we do have a responsibility to open up the conversation. It might even start off very awkward. I mean, I know ours really did, but we're really cultivating a safe place. We're reminding our kids, hey, the world's going to tell you a lot of things, but we need you to come to us, and you can come to us, and we're going to give you the best answer we can. And it's going to be based on biblical truth. And we're going to tell you too, where we feel like we've done this right and where we've really gone wrong and what we've learned. And thankfully they do bring us some questions. There's been times where Dave has to grab my arms to wipe the shock off my face. Cause I'm like, what?
Just be shocked later.
You know,
not right
and
now.
He's just like, this is what
be
we want.
Curious. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Change your face.
Change your face, Ashley.
One that shocked you?
Oh gosh. There's been, there's been a lot. I mean, one, and
you want to talk about the bus?
Yeah, I think
this was a memorable one.
This is early
one.
In the book. Like, one of our sons' first day of eighth grade.
Oh, yeah.
He came home and he was like, hey, do girls really like it when guys like text pictures of their private parts to them? And we're like,
what?
Eighth grade.
And he goes like, yeah, these boys on the bus were trying to show people and laughing and text them and saying, girls love getting pictures like this. And he was like, I could tell he was really confused and troubled by it. But
I love that he came to you.
He came to us, yeah. And I'm so glad he did. And so, and Ashley, instead, like, I think her instinct was like,
first I was
who
like,
are their
who parents? Are these kids?
We're going to, that's we're going to arrest them. And,
I'm just shocked. You know, so, you just don't expect it in eighth grade.
Right, I know. I just said, man, thank you. Thank you for trusting us with this. And I said, first off, like, no, that's not good. In fact, it's illegal for underage people to be taking those pictures or receiving those pictures, or anybody to receive pictures of an underage person. And I said, but it's wrong. I said, and we talked about why it's wrong and how it's disrespectful, it's violating, like all of those things. And we're able to unpack it. And he listened and he goes, yeah, that's what I was thinking. I thought it was pretty weird, but I was just making sure. And like, and he just went on with his day, like, like video games. But being able to like, and we're looking at each other like, like, oh my gosh, you know, what's happening? But not freaking out in front of your kids is huge. And it creates a precedent.
I like you putting your hand.
Yeah.
He really was so good about it.
He was like, that is me.
Yeah.
Yes. It's that mama bear. Like,
yeah, she calms me down a lot. But with this kind of stuff, I'm usually the one like, we'll freak out later.
Yeah.
Now it's not the time.
Yes.
My oldest son at one point was listening to this music. I am like, you guys, I can get so hot. Like,
it's fun when she gets hot.
Is this like music from Satan itself?
What is that?
Yeah.
Playing this music in my house. And Dave just kind of like, you know, he pulls the CD out of the trash can. He's like, hey, so what are you? Like, tell me about this music. Like, I just have to go in the other room and cool off a little bit.
Cool. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. I've been there many times. Yes.
That's right, yeah.
But obviously you've created a safe net where they feel like they can bring up that kind of stuff. A lot of homes would be like, no way I could ever talk to mom and dad about this. So, I mean, obviously it's in what you talked about with familylife.com/sex talk. How do you have this talk with your kids? How did you develop an environment in your home where they felt safe to bring this kind of stuff up? Is this something you started talking about since they were little boys?
We did. And I think we realized early, like, this is something we cannot outsource.
Right.
Because the world would love you to outsource these conversations and just send them to the internet or send them to somebody else or let the friends at school fill in the gaps. And they're going to get so many wrong messages that way. I'm like, we signed up to be parents. This was one of those key responsibilities that like we have to instill these core values about respect, about God's plan for sex. And yeah, it can be uncomfortable sometimes. Man, these are some of the most important conversations we'll ever have. And if you're listening to this and you feel not equipped, or you feel like, oh my goodness, because of my own past, or I don't want those things to come up or to answer hard questions, your kids aren't expecting you to be perfect, but they need you to be present. They need you to be honest and to guide them through this with what you did right, with what you did wrong. There's so much at stake and you've got this. You're the most qualified person on earth to have these conversations with your children.
And in the resource, How to Talk to Your Kids About Sex, we really talk through it. Like we have a parental video for parents only before they watch the video with their child. But then the most important part of all this is the conversation they will have after watching that video with their child.
So they're watching the video together.
Yes. Yeah. And that way the child can ask questions or not. Or the parent can pose questions or say, hey, was something unclear? Do you want to ask me a question about this? Because I know sometimes this can be really nerve-wracking. And I know when I was your age, this was an awkward conversation with my parents, or my parents didn't know how to talk to me about this, you know? And that was really my experience. I have wonderful parents, but they didn't know how to talk to me about this. And I really think it went back to their own past. They didn't know how to address that or how to share it with me, or if I would ask questions that they didn't know how to answer. And so I remember going into marriage, and we did get married young, so maybe my poor parents didn't have enough time to gather their thoughts, but you know, it wasn't talked about really. It was just shut down. And I remember we had young children. We knew someday we'd have to have these talks with them. We wanted to do it differently and really get ahead of it, because the truth is younger and younger kids are being exposed to mixed messages. And I think a lot of parents, you know, we want to live in denial and think, well, not my baby, you know, he or she's not going to be exposed at their school. It's a good school. And there's not going to be a kid with a cell phone showing them an image. And I just want to burst that bubble and say, tragically, it's everywhere. I mean, I've taught in a Christian school and I've taught in a public school, and I can tell you kids are kids everywhere. And the only difference was in a Christian school, I could actually talk to them and pray with them. But other than that, they're kids and kids are curious. And we want to get ahead of that curiosity and really talk to them about how sex is a powerful gift from God and how, you know, they have license over the bodies that God gave them. And so therefore they have boundaries they need to put in place with people, and they need to respect other people's boundaries. And, you know, we just wanted to help parents with this resource to have these conversations and to not feel like they're ill-equipped, because you're their parents. I mean, and with that, God gave you that authority to be their teacher and to get equipped and be able to answer those hard questions.
I love that you guys are doing the heavy lifting of it too, because they're watching it. You guys are saying a bunch of this great stuff, and it's just this, it's an on-ramp to a conversation.
Yes, it's an on-ramp. Yes.
And I think that's really needed for us. Like, oh, okay, they're going to talk about it, and then I'm just going to kind of, we're going to walk together through it. I think it's so needed. I love it. I love that you guys are doing
this. Thank you. We try to create what we wish we would have had.
Yes.
So we had some tools that helped. You know, some of those were from Family Life.
From Family Life, for sure.
And we're thankful for that, but... But it's like, what do we wish we would have had? And that's what we tried to create with the team here.
And it's a different day.
Yeah, it's a different day. The challenges are different. The temptations are different. The questions are different. The core principles are always going to be the same about sex. But I'm really excited about this resource. And I really do hope that it brings parents and kids closer together with each other, creates some bonding moments, and also takes away some of the fear around these talks and equips the next generation with some tools that are going to help them walk the beautiful path God has for them.
And I mean, obviously, it's one of the best ways you can respect each other.
Yes.
And, you know, your book's about boys respecting men, respecting their women. Mm-hmm. One of the most, I think, fascinating, and you have a chapter on it, studies I ever did way back was how Jesus was the model in that culture of elevating and respecting women. I remember when I was studying this and getting a grip on it as sort of a seminary student, there was a TV show, you guys are too young to remember, that was really popular called L.A. Law.
Oh, I know L.A. Law.
Remember L.A. Law? I totally remember that. We were living in California at the time, so we thought we were L.A. people.
Yes.
But there was an actress, I don't know what her name was, she was popular on the show, but there was a quote that came out around that time from her about Jesus. I could look it up and tell you her name, but she said this, "I'm not a Christian because of what Jesus did to women. I'm not going to follow a man that did what he did to women." And I wanted to call her and go, "You have no idea what how he elevated women."
Oh my gosh, more so than anybody in history.
Anybody in that culture. Yeah. Exactly.
So explain that a little bit.
Yes.
Well, how did Jesus
glad you brought that up, Dave. It's my favorite chapter in the book,
Mine too.
Is it?
It is, because Jesus is our role model for all things. But I don't think we always think of him as being the role model for how men should respect women. And he, man, he set the bar so high, the way he valued women, the way he made women the heroes in the stories that he told.
Which was never,
never happened. Yeah. The way he honored them in his conversations, the way he sought them out and brought them into the ministry and allowed them to lead and serve and use their God-given gifts. And the way he took time, you know, to meet their needs, the way he allowed them to participate in meeting the needs of the ministry. There were, you know, women that were financial contributors as well to, you know, helping the ministry go forward. And I mean, it was radically countercultural in that day, in that time, in that place, the way that Jesus elevated women that we might look at today and say, yeah, well, that's the way that it should be. But back then, nobody was doing this. Nobody. I mean, he was revolutionary, of course, in so many ways. But what we don't talk about enough is how revolutionary he was in elevating and respecting women.
I mean, I think of John 4, of the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman.
Yes.
How many things that he did in that Jewish culture that would have never been done. One, that he would talk to a Samaritan woman as a rabbi, that he would touch something, asking her for a drink, which means she would have touched it, which means he would have touched it, which you're not allowed to do that. I was on a flight to Israel with some Orthodox Jewish men, and they couldn't sit in the seat beside one of our women.
Really?
And so he had to get the flight attendant. They had to move. There were so many different things that they were obeying the custom of their faith. And I'm imagining Jesus having this conversation with this woman alone, even talking to her and initiating the conversation. It's like all the rules are broken, but it's his, like, he's Caesar.
He sees her.
And in the midst of seeing her, respects her and gives her dignity.
Yes.
And talk about a woman that was walking with shame.
Yes.
And he elevates. Like, it's phenomenal how countercultural he was and still is in so many ways.
And still is.
Right. I love that. It's one of my favorites.
Me
stories.
Too.
So as we sort of bring this to a close, is there, like, if you think, and I know it's 2025, we're 6 years removed from when this was published, top three, if you can come up with three, maybe there's 10, ways for men to respect women, boys to respect girls. What are the top ones that come to your mind?
Wow.
We should do two and two.
Two and two.
Two and two.
All right. Yeah.
We'll see if there's. Well,
I'll try to give. I don't know about top two, but just two that are good. So, I think one of the things in the research for this book that really stood out to me is how much more often women are interrupted than men, just in conversation. And I talk fast, and like just in general, I've tried to be less of an interrupter for men and women. Like I've been an interrupter, and I'm sorry, probably even in this interview. Mm. Forgive me.
Of course.
It's funny. I've always, is this what you're going to say?
I don't know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say.
I notice that if
when
that,
you're on stage.
Or even here, if you guys interrupt each other, you're like, oh, I'm really sorry. That has always stuck out to me. You've always done it. Both of you do
and
that.
I've noticed, you know, videos I've seen online where you're teaching at a marriage conference, you let Ashley talk and you don't interrupt. There are times I cut her off. She'll say something. I'm like, Dave is really respecting her. It's her moment. And you can tell by the way you're looking at her, you're like, this is really good.
This
isn't
is good.
Just like she's talking.
I got a front row seat to some gold here.
That's respect. It's so, modeled the way
well,
you
thank
treat
you.
One
we
another.
We try to teach that to our boys that don't interrupt. Value what women have to say and give them the floor, you know? And so that's one. What's one that you have?
I know I keep coming back to it, but I would say the eyes. The eyes are so important, where your eyes go. I think a husband will build so much security and trust in his wife if he can just divert his eyes. I mean, again, you can notice something, but diverting your eyes. And you do that for me. We try to teach our boys to do the same thing. And I just know it doesn't go unseen. And I feel like, and this is in the open places and more so in the secret places, just not even letting the enemy get a foothold, I think is so important. But a lot of it starts right there in the eyes. And then it's what you allow yourself to think about, you know, because that's how you get a hold of lust.
Steve Farrar.
I don't think so.
Steve was on our Family Life speaker, Remember speaker team. So right when we joined, we're much younger than him. And he wrote a book called Point Man. Okay. And he had a military background as a guy who leads a platoon into escort the Point Man. So he's like, you're the Point Man of your family. It's a great book about manhood. Just an amazing guy. And I'll never forget a story he tells in the book. This is 30 some years ago, where he just says they're sitting at a stoplight and he's with his teenage son and a girl walks across to go to the other side and his son turns to his dad and goes, Dad, you never look. He goes, what? He goes, I've watched you my whole life. Women walk by, that girl was very pretty. She wasn't dressed. You never look. And Steve says, I turned to him and said, yeah, there's times I have, but his point is they're watching.
They're watching
every second. And that, what he was saying to you, his dad was, you respect women.
Right.
And I'm watching and I'm learning how to be a man.
That's the most powerful lesson more than anything we'll say is just what we're doing as parents and as dads in this case.
Yeah.
That's what they're watching.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So let's make sure we're respecting women.
Our eyes, our words.
Words, yes.
Our body. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is something we have to model.
Any other ones that come to your minds right off the top?
Well, he mentioned words. And I would say it's not just how you talk to your spouse, which is extremely important, not just for your spouse, but for your kids, if you have children in the home, but also how you talk about women. Yeah. Like we know people, and it shows in their marriage too, but they just have a derogatory view of women. And it probably goes back to how they were raised and they don't even realize it. Cause you know, if you're a fish in water, you don't know what it's like to be out of the water till you are. You're like, and you're like, oh, there's another, we can exist another way. And so I think it's just taking, really praying and saying, Lord, reveal to me any blind spots I have and how I view women and help me to heal from that. Because I think that if you have this negative view of women, like all women are XYZ, or, you know, I'm looking because she's putting it out there. I've heard that before.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking only because she wants me to look, you know, all these excuses that we, these lies we believe, right? That we make excuses in our life. But we really, I think what it comes down to is just a really negative view of women. And I think taking those thoughts captive and really thinking more positively, but also more respectfully about women, because then that's how you're going to speak about them, right? And really thinking about, how do I speak about women in my home? Is it always talking something negative about this woman at work, or the neighbor who's a woman, or about your wife when your wife isn't around? I mean, really think about that, because it not only has effect on the people around you, it perpetuates your next thought. Yeah. You know, if you're always thinking negatively and always speaking negatively and disrespectfully, then that's all you're going to do.
I would piggyback on that and say the words that Dave says about me in front of our boys. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's one of his greatest gifts. He's constantly complimenting me.
That's awesome.
You're easy to compliment.
No, mm-hmm. you are you so good at it. And I've watched our sons model that mm-hmm. with their wives. And I know that it's because you have always been like my biggest cheerleader. Like, oh, your mom's amazing that. Mm-hmm. You should have seen your mom do that back in the day. And I'm like, man, you are so nice to me.
I love that.
And it's such a sweet gift. And it's such a great model mm-hmm. for our kids to hear us complimenting our spouse.
Mm-hmm. That's so good.
I mean, both ways.
Yes.
The one, I'll footnote your footnote. Or whatever you just said.
Piggyback.
One of the ways I think I disrespected Anne, and men can do this, and it can go either way, is I would be harsh mm-hmm. in my tone.
Oh, yeah. Tone.
Even sometimes I'm saying the right thing, but it's like sort of with a know-it-all attitude.
Yeah.
Sort of like,
yeah.
It's a roll of the eyes. Mm-hmm. Like, that was stupid. You're stupid. And she would say, I remember one time she said, I am not stupid. I'm like, I didn't say you're stupid. Yeah.
Your eye roll said it.
That is so disrespect.
Absolutely. Yes.
And I didn't realize I had it. You want to hear a funny story, which we put in our vertical marriage small group deal. But she tried to tell me that I was that way. You know, like, you're harsh at times. And, you know, it was so a blind spot. I'd be like, I'm not harsh. And she's like, exhibit A, you know, the way. And we're at her parents, and with the kids, we're a little alone. They all had boys. All her siblings had boys. We had 12 grandsons.
And
her
granddaughters.
And so they're all over the place. Wow. And I've got this little camcorder with the, you know, back in the VCR days.
Yes.
And I'm filming this thing. Later, the parents came in, and everybody comes in. We're going to watch this video I made. And at the end of the video, and everybody's watching this.
When you
this,
were filming it.
Yeah. You can see it on the camera. I go up to turn it off. And I thought I turned it off, but I didn't. So you see me do this. I come back and we get into, and my harshness is right there.
Oh, wow.
It's
and my
on
whole
the video.
Family is in the room. And my mom and dad are like, oh, my God.
Her brothers are like, dude, I'm running up there, like, stopping right there. And I'm like, there it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everything she tried to tell me I was.
You said,
it's
you
like
hadn't
a mirror.
Seen it.
I saw it. I'm like,
you guys.
I'm an idiot. I am a jerk. I am a know-it-all well, punk. That's what I was.
Most of us don't know. I mean, Ashley's you said to me before, like, sometimes, like, you don't know. Like, I'm not meaning anything, like, but your tone, how you're coming, not just like to her, but just like in general, I'll get going about something. She's very general, but she'll say, you don't know how you're coming across. You're not seeing it. I'm not seeing the VHS tape of myself, or if I saw it, I'd be like, I look like an idiot. And so you got to trust your spouse when they point out those blind spots.
Well, it's funny too, because Dave, this was a battle for, I remember like 4 months trying to say, it's that. When you say that, or you give me that look, it just shuts my spirit mm-hmm. down.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, rolling his eyes again, like,
which
oh,
is disrespect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I remember I couldn't figure out how to communicate it. But you mm-hmm. know what I do remember doing is praying like, Lord, he can't see it. Mm-hmm. I need, like, if this isn't a deal, then I just need to stop being so sensitive. Mm-hmm. But Lord, if I could communicate it and you can help me to figure out how to communicate it, I think that would be really helpful. And so I'm watching him like, this is God.
Yes, God made a way.
Here's how
where there seemed to be
God's
no way.
Like, I got this, Ann.
Don't worry.
Right.
I got video evidence.
Yes.
VHS for the win.
I don't like that prayer.
No, I know.
But it definitely helped. Well, let me say this just as we wrap up. Go to familylife.com/sextalk to get the video course from you guys. We're so glad you guys did that for Family Life.
This is a gift to Family Life.
What a blessing that's going to be for people. It's really going to help. And obviously, you know, share this conversation for men and boys to understand how to respect women. And it's really both ways.
Absolutely.
Yes, it goes both ways. Sides. Absolutely.
For women to listen to even know how to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you listen to it as a woman and think, oh, we need to talk about this as a couple mm-hmm. so that we can be on the same page with our kids.
I didn't even
sons.
Mention we'll also have the book there. Well, actually, with the book's at familylifetoday.com. Click on the show notes and get it. I mean, this thing, you know, it's going to become a bestseller after this conversation. Again. Before we're done today, let me just say this. Our financial partners are the heartbeat of this ministry. And when you join this monthly giving community, you're not just donating, you're building something eternal.
And we'd be so honored to have you on the journey with us. We really would. So here's the question. Will you join us today?
I hope your answer is yes. And if it is, go to familylifetoday.com. You can click the donate button right there and become a part of the monthly partner program.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported ministry of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.